Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Our text scripture has been out of Hebrews 1 from God's Word Translation. Faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Faith is being confident of what we expect and convinced of what we don't see. That's the Moffat's translation there. Faith is being confident of what we expect. So we have there is an expectation about faith. It's a good way to know that you are in faith is that you're expecting something and you're confident about what you cannot see. You know, I've never seen God. I've never had a vision of Jesus. I am confident that God is real. I am confident that Jesus is real. I am confident that the Holy Spirit is real and powerful. And I am confident that serving them is the best way to go. And so I'm confident of that. And what happens is you can grow in your confidence. I can remember when I first came to the Lord and people would say, well, are you saved? And I've heard people say that. You're like, I think. Yeah, I hope so. Ever heard that? Maybe you just made a decision for the Lord and you're like, someone said, well, are you saved? And you go, I hope so. But if you notice over time, especially as it becomes part of your life, that confidence, you don't even hesitate. Are you saved? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Could not convince me otherwise. Well, you didn't get baptized the way our church says you're supposed to get baptized. Don't care, I'm saved. And so don't ever let anyone talk you out of your salvation. If you've made Jesus your Lord, you've been born again. You're a new creation in Christ. Amen. And so don't let anybody ever talk you out of, well, you didn't get baptized our way, or you're not part of our church, or you're part of a group that's wrong. Said, nope, it's in the Bible. I received it. I didn't get saved because of a church. I got saved because of what Jesus did for me, and I received that. So recapping from last week, we've been talking about, and we want to do a contrast of faith, really faith and unbelief. I like pictures. If you can show me a picture of something, I can get it. I do appreciate YouTube. YouTube helps me because I'm not good with my hands. And so when I have to fix something, man, I appreciate YouTube because they show me pictures of how I can do it. And it's like, wow, I can be amazing. Joy has been amazed at some of the things I've done recently around the house. Hey guys, you got to understand, this is not, my gifting did not land here. It all landed here. So when it comes time to do something, something breaks around in our house, Joy said, well, you know, this is broken. And I say, well, are you telling me that because you just wanted me to know, or are you waiting me to call somebody to fix it? And usually we're calling somebody to fix it. But if I can see a picture, I can do it. And so tonight we're going to talk about the picture of what faith looks like, what unbelief looks like. So, and the reason being is so we can know if we is or ain't. If we is in faith or we ain't in faith. So we can see it. So last week we talked about the nation of Israel. Remember, they come out of Egypt. Moses went to Egypt. God got them out. And now they're going up to the edge of the promised land. God sends them into the promised land and he sends 12 spies in. 12 spies come back. They have a report. They're getting ready to share. The spies brought back word that there were problems. Said it's a beautiful land, but, and here's where we begin to see the contrast. So we're going to read about this. Unbelief is a step into the dark. Numbers 13. This is the spies talking. The 10 spies had just said, yeah, land's beautiful, but there's Hittites and Jebusites and Canaanites and there's a lot of ites. Man, that place is full of ites. And big people there. And so it said, Caleb quieted the people before Moses. The people got stirred up and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we're well able to overcome it. Now listen to what he said. Let's go now, get it, we can do this. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land that they spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. That last phrase is interesting, isn't it? How you see yourself is often how you think other people see you. How you see yourself is often how you think other people see you. That's not our subject, that's a side note. The two men who believed God's promises to Israel, Caleb and Joshua, Caleb's words revealed what he believed. Let's go, we're well able to do this. He's talking about what he believes. Let's go get it. He said, we're well able. Now, we have talked about a verse in James that's not in your notes. We talked about what, when I talk to people all the time, one of the biggest areas that we all need help in, and almost universally, is wisdom. Not everyone needs healing. Not everyone needs provision. But I can almost promise you, everybody needs wisdom. Amen. In some area. Some area of your life, it's like, I need God's wisdom in this area because I don't have the answers. And so in James, the first chapter, verse 5, again, I'll just read this to you. James is writing to the church. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally, that means generously, and without reproach. In other words, he's not going to condemn you for asking for wisdom. He's not going to look at you roll his eyes and go, dear Lord, are you back? Without reproach, it says, and it will be given to him. Now, that's a promise. That's a promise in the Bible. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all. How many of you know God knows what to do? Yeah. Even little stuff. He knows how to find stuff. You ever lose stuff? Yeah. And then go, and then you just walk around the house going, Where's that? Joy was telling me about something the other day. Well, it was today. She told me, she said, there's this story. She said, I know it's in a book. I said, well, ask the Holy Spirit. He knows where it is. Sure enough, she found it. Holy Spirit helped her. Say, oh, the Holy Spirit won't help you do stuff like that. Well, he won't help you do stuff like that. But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So here's what we can do. What would faith for wisdom say? So we just read that scripture. What would faith for wisdom say? Faith for wisdom would say something along these lines. If we're taking what Caleb said, let's go get it. Then here's what faith for wisdom. Faith would say, let's ask God and he'll show us what to do. Let's ask God for wisdom and he'll show us what. Remember, he made that promise, right? I didn't write that. He did. He said if we'd ask him for wisdom, that he would give us wisdom. True? So if he said that, then when we see a verse like this in the Bible, we can go, oh, thank you, Lord. I can ask you for wisdom and you'll give it to me. Now, it's quiet in here because people are like, that's not typically what I say. Typically what people go is, well, you know, I hope God will. Or, you know, I asked for wisdom one time and I didn't get any. And so you got to be real careful about that because I want you to see the difference between the two. So we can either say, now here's the thing. Faith agrees with God. It agrees with God. If he says, anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all. That would be all of us. Liberally. In other words, he's not stingy. He's not stingy. How many of you had a generous father growing up? If you had a generous father growing up, you can appreciate this. If you had a generous father, someone who's really good to you, then you can understand that God is not stingy. God's not going to roll his eyes and go, when I was your age, because he never was our age. He gives to all liberally and without reproach. He's not going to rebuke you for coming to him for wisdom. He's not going to criticize you. And it will be given to him. It will be. You see how definite that is? When God's word is that definite, then we need to be definite. That I can ask the Lord for wisdom and he'll give it to me. See the difference? Put that next verse up there. This is a real key principle in faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. So what happens is when we find these promises, like the one I just read, we have something to say about that. What do we have to say about that? Well, we can read it and go, oh, that's nice. Or we can read it and go, Lord, thank you that you can actually give me wisdom about what to do about my family. God, you can give me wisdom about what to do about my job. God, you realize that God can give us wisdom beyond just church wisdom. He has relationship wisdom, children wisdom, in-law wisdom. You say, even in-law wisdom? Even in-law wisdom. God's got wisdom. So what we're going to have to do is do what Caleb said. Let's go get it. For we're well able to receive wisdom from God. That would have been a great time for a big woo. But because I'm having to prompt you on the woo. Do you see? Here's the difference. Caleb and Joshua, they see the land. They see all the people, all the ites. They saw all the ites. But they said what God said. God said, I'm giving you the land. And Caleb and Joshua went, let's go get it. We're well able to overcome it. So what they did was they agreed with what God said. The 10 guys, they saw the same land, saw the same ites, but they said, we can't. We're not able to. They're stronger than we are. We're grasshoppers. And they said everything they could see. Caleb and Joshua said everything God said. So we can talk about everything we can see or everything God says. And if we're taking what God says, then what we see doesn't matter as much. So what happens is we come down to the wisdom thing, and if you believe God's smarter than you are, yes. Okay. So, and if he said he would give us wisdom if we ask, what we need to begin to say is, God, thank you. Lord, thank you. I can ask you for wisdom, and you will give me wisdom about my family situation. Lord, you will give me wisdom about what to do on my job. God can get wisdom to you. We just need to open the door. Here's what we don't want to say. I just can't believe that. I've heard this one. This is not good. God is not concerned with my little problem. You ever heard people say that? Well, God is running the universe, and he's not concerned with my little problem. Oh, come on. Come on now. Seriously. I don't know how little your God is. I got a God who creates universes and creates solar system and creates planets. And if I have a little question for him, he's big enough to help me on little things. And so, really, that boils down to an excuse. Oh, God's not concerned about my little problem. How about this? If God wanted me to know it, he'd show me. See, that doesn't agree with what James said. James said, if we ask him, he'll help us. He'll give us wisdom. You see where I'm going with this? Faith agrees with God. Not agrees with everything that's happened in your past. Not agrees with what your Aunt Ethel said about the Lord. This is where you have to go, but what do the scriptures say? What does the Bible say about this? Is this a promise for all of us or just preachers? Oh, he didn't write this to preachers. He wrote this to believers. And so I realized I just camped on this. I had no intent on camping on this, but this is important right here. Because so much of the time what we're saying is, and we're all guilty of it, we're saying only what we see or feel or have experienced, as opposed to saying what God has said. Now, because many of us have grown up and, or many of you have been saved, when it comes to salvation, we're pretty stout on that. Are you saved? Yes, the Lord has saved me. Will He save your unsaved relatives? Will He save your nasty relatives? Yes, He will. Yes, He will. Will He save your wayward child that's got all? Yes, I am praying. I believe. We believe that. We believe that God will save. But the same God that will save is the same God that said He will give us wisdom if we ask for it. So what we need to do is just develop confidence in the fact that if we need wisdom, we can ask God and He'd give it to us. You say, well, how do I get that? Well, one, you need to know what that verse is. Number two, you need to agree with it. And number three, when you talk to the Lord, thank Him ahead of time for wisdom. Lord, thank You. I can ask You for wisdom and You'll give it to me. You're quiet tonight. You thinking? Amen. Do you see the contrast? Caleb and Joshua, two guys are saying exactly what they saw. But here's one of the ways to tell. Yeah, we got time. Here's one of the ways to tell about unbelief. So the 10 guys said, we can't do this. We can't do this. They're too big. There's too many. They're huge. The cities are walled, fortified. Man, it's a tough place. We can't do it. We can't. We're small. Caleb and Joshua said, oh, we can. Let's go get it. Who do you think everybody believed? They believed the 10. It's easier to believe a negative than it is a positive. Have you ever noticed that just being positive, sometimes people will roll their eyes at you like, oh, really? If you're just positive, if you walk, just walk into your, walk in Monday, wait till Monday morning, walk into where you work. Go, man, I'm glad for another week. Isn't it good? We got another week. Another week of work. They look at you like, what is your problem, man? You are out of your mind. What is your deal? It's Monday. Thank God we don't have to. We don't have to. If you're a good employee, and if you go to this church, you ought to be a good employee. You ought to walk in, and you ought to be the one that says, praise God, I am here. And because I'm here, the blessings are here. Here we go. Let's go. Let's do this. I looked at a guy at an interview one time and said, you ought to hire me because I'm a tither and God blesses everything I set my hand to do. He was an unbeliever, but he liked that. Even unbelieving sales managers will take a blessed salesman any day of the week. And even unbelieving employers will take a positive, blessed employee any day of the week. Yes, amen, Alan. I agree with that, Alan. That's a fact. That's a woo, Alan. Woo, woo. An unprompted woo. Here's the result of unbelief. They believe the 10. It's easy for people to believe a negative. It's easy for people to believe what they see. It's easier for all of us. But look what happened. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation and said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died. Well, who's talking about dying? We had died in this wilderness? Why has the Lord brought us up to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Returning to Egypt was returning to slavery. But listen to what's going on here. The people wept and cried. A good way to discern faith or unbelief is, what does it do to you? When you hear it, does it lift you or lower you? You know, I really appreciate, when I was in sales, I really appreciate Joy. When I would leave the home, every time, Joy would look at me and she'd go, you're going to sell something today. That's her faith. That helped me. I mean, we went through some dry spells in sales. And if any of you are sales reps, how many sales reps do I have in here? All right. There you go. If you've gone through a dry spell, you can tend to get negative. But every time she would look at me, she would go, "You're going to sell something. You're going to sell something." What did that lifts? She could have looked at me and said, "Dear God, if you don't sell something, we're going to die. The children need to eat. We got bills to pay. You better get out there and sell something." How many of you know that doesn't help anybody? All your salesmen know, if you got a sales manager like that, that does not help you. You better sell. We got other people looking for your job. That does not help you. That didn't lift you, that lowers you. And so when unbelief lowered, it lowered the whole crowd, they cried the whole night. People complained against Moses and Aaron, and they started off on a dark path. Here is the challenge. When God said, "Go in, you can take it," and when they're saying, "No, we can't, and we can't do it," then they got off. They're starting, God's over here going, "Come on, let's go." And they're going, "No, we can't do it." And when you start going in that direction, that's a dark path. And then they got into exaggeration. I know none of you have ever done this. But sometimes you go down that dark path, and I've heard people say things like, "Oh, man, I never, ever get my prayers answered. I never can get a hold of this. I don't even know why I go to church. No one cares about me. No, they all wish I was dead." That's an exaggeration. But that's what happens when you get away from what God said. God's over here going, "Let's go get it. We can do this." But when we are like, "I can't. God doesn't care about me." And boy, they started off, and then they started going, "I wish we died in Egypt." Really? If you wanted to die in Egypt, you should have just stayed there by the Red Sea when Pharaoh and all his soldiers came. You should have said, "Kill me right now. Don't go through the Red Sea. Just stay here and die." You didn't want to die. That's an exaggeration. And then it got worse. Then the people blamed God for their problem. They hadn't even fought. No, there had been no battle. They were already defeated. So going against God is a big step into the dark. And the people spoke of returning back into slavery. So when you go negative, you're totally going against what God had said. God said, "This is your land. I'm giving it to you." They said, "No, we can't. We can't. We can't. We can't do it." And they begin to go negative. The people were going against what God, they were going against how good God had been to them. Had they forgotten how God had delivered them, how God had fed them, how God had taken care of them, how God had guided them? And so what happens is when you start going down that negative path, you forget all the good things God has done. Yeah. Now listen, I could speak to this. I have been depressed. I grew up in a family where depression was just part of our game. That's how we rolled. Somebody in our family was in the, we didn't call it depression. They didn't call it depression back then. They called it bad mood. It's depression. And I know how dark it gets in depression. And when it gets dark, nothing's good. And you forget all the things that God did. Listen, there's a lot of us in this room tonight and watching online. You wouldn't even be alive today if it wasn't for God. You would not. You wouldn't be alive. We don't know how many times He's bailed us out of stuff, how many times He's helped us, how many times He's been merciful to us. What He's done, you say, "Well, He hadn't really done anything for me." Or can you stand upright and breathe and think right? But if that's the case, then you are blessed. And yes, He has done something for you. And so, but here's the thing. Once you start going down that dark path, it gets dark. Romans 8:6 says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What is spiritually minded? Spiritually minded is going, "I don't know what to do. God never shows me anything. I can't live this Christian life. I don't even know why I'm trying. I think that pastor just preaches. I don't think it's really true." That's carnally minded. And that'll take you down a dark hole. Or you can go over here and go, "You know, I've seen this promise. God said he would give me wisdom if I'd ask for it. And if I ask for it, he would give me generously. And I'll know what to do." I was in North Carolina. We had tried to start a church. It failed. My first church was a colossal. I don't even want to call it a failure. I really didn't get going. But we were in a dark place. And I was reading one morning and I saw that, and it just jumped at me. And I thought, man, we tried. We looked all over North Carolina trying to find where God wanted us to go. I didn't know what to do. And what happens is when you don't know what to do, you don't just say a lot. I don't know what to do. I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. What are you going to do about your child? I don't know. What are you going to do about your marriage? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And listen, it's not a good place to be in. I get it. And we didn't know what to do. But I read that promise, and I just put my hand on it and said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but you do. And if I ask you for wisdom, you will give me wisdom. And Lord, I'm asking you for wisdom in Jesus' name. Show me what to do here. And I thank you for it. Amen. Now, I went to work, and the phone rings. And a friend calls me. He said, Alan, he's a believer. Alan, I'm just thinking about you, man. What are you going to do? And I was about to say, what? I don't know. You know what I said? You're like this. I said, you know what I prayed this morning? And I found a promise in James 1:5 that if I ask God for wisdom, he would give me wisdom and I will know what to do. He did not woo at all. He went, oh. And the conversation ended pretty quickly. And so for a couple of weeks, I just walked around going, thank you, Lord. I'll know what to do. See, what happens is because we don't get it instantly like that, we get wavered. We just kind of go. But if you just kind of stay with it. And so I just kept thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And every time I would be tempted to say, what? I would just stop, catch myself, say, Lord, thank you. You'll show me what to do. I mean, we're talking about moving a family. We're talking about a lot of stuff. I mean, you think, man, that's a lot of things that's got to go on. And how can God can get wisdom to you? He can get wisdom to you in an instant. And I'm sitting in a church service, and a guy says something, and as soon as he said it, I knew exactly what to do. I just knew. God gave me the wisdom. I knew exactly. God didn't want us to start a church in North Carolina. We've been saying, where do you want me to start a church in North Carolina? Where do you want me to start a church? He did not want me to start a church in North Carolina. And we came back to Texas within months. Yeah, that was a big woo for us. It was a few years before we ever launched this church. But the wisdom was to get back on the path. But here's what I'm saying is, I could have stayed in the dark constantly saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And that gets you down. God's promises, God's word to us gives us something we can hold on to. It's not visible, but it's real. And we don't get caught up in what we do see, which can be negative. This makes sense? Good. It's a real thing. And a lot of the mental anguish that people deal with can be solved right here. By instead of agreeing with every negative thing around them, they can begin to find out what God has said and begin to agree with him. And then begin to change your words to agree with God. Caleb and Joshua. What was that poem, Joey? Remember that poem? Spirit of the two. I've shared this before. It's a good poem to end with. So I have the spirit of the two. Caleb and Joshua, not the spirit of the ten spies. The two said, we're well able, and with God's help, we'll win. The ten, who saw themselves as small, said, we can't take this land at all. The giants are big and far too strong. Naturally speaking, they were right, but God proved them dead wrong. Faith cuts the problem down to size, for it looks at life through God's own eyes, and declares there's much more going for me than anything I feel or see. I have the spirit of the two, not the spirit of the ten. Faith in God has made the difference between life as mice or men. And that works for anyone. Anywhere, any background, it doesn't matter. Would you bow your head? If you're here this evening and said, you know, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not sure, I'm not confident of that, but I want to be. Well, you can be. Or maybe you're like I was and I had a relationship with the Lord, but I walked away from Him, and maybe that's you tonight. Or maybe you're online watching, you're thinking, that's me. Well, we're going to say a prayer, not going to have you stand up, not going to have you come down to the front. This is not trying to embarrass you, it's trying to connect you. We want to connect you with the Lord. But I am going to ask you one thing. If you're here this evening and you say, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, or I've been away from Him and I want to come back, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up just quickly across this auditorium? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Yeah, way in the back. I got you. Yeah. Anybody else? Great. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. If you're online, I can't see you, but you can pray this prayer. We're going to pray with you as a church family. This is just a simple prayer, but it's a powerful prayer. You believe this with your heart. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, is the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to You. Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer, for those who've come to You and for those who've come back, and we rejoice. Thank You that You give us wisdom when we ask You. Thank You that You continue to enlighten us and help us, that we can walk in the light, not in the dark. And we'll give You all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.